The Word of God today gives us two marvelous images, the image of the potter working at his wheel and the image of the dragnet hauling in all sorts of fish. But before we turn to the Word of God, we can reflect a little bit on an act of God. Of course, I'm talking about yesterday's earthquake. Everybody, I think, knows by now that there was an earthquake, and even if you didn't feel it, I know some people didn't feel it so much here in the metro area, but up north, everybody felt it, and there was damage. I don't have updates in the news, but I know that there was damaged buildings. Even yesterday, it was all within a few minutes, it was already on the social media, the effects of the earthquake. An earthquake. If anything's an act of God, an earthquake's an act of God. No one can control the movements of the earth but God himself. So an earthquake is always an opportunity for us to be reminded that we are in the hands of God and that we don't have control over when our end comes. I don't know what you experienced. Some of you were right here in the chapel, I know. So it's a good place to be in adoration during an earthquake. I myself was about to take a bath, and I wasn't just being dizzy, it was actually an earthquake, I realized I'm in no condition to go running out of the building. I was trying to figure out how quickly I could put my clothes back on. But anyway, that's the kind of reflection. Am I ready? Am I ready? I wasn't ready for an earthquake, but that's just a sign of the end for us. Are we ready for the end of our life? Are we ready for the end of time? Are we ready for God to have a big upheaval in our lives? Well, early this morning, I got the sad news about Mindy. You know, she fell down the stairs. Thanks be to God, she's not too badly hurt, just some cuts. But that's an earthquake. I mean, when somebody has an accident or somebody experiences an injury like that, it really is a shocking reminder of how fragile we are, how fragile life is. You saw, I'm sure, some of those pictures of the old churches and buildings up in the north, up in Bigan and Ilocos Sur and Benguet and whatever, Abra, Mountain Province. A lot of damage. Well, yesterday, since there were pictures of Bigan, that brought my thoughts back to my own trip. I've only been to Bigan one time, and I was with my parents. And since today's the second death anniversary of my mother, all these things are coming together at the same time. We've got earthquakes, we have Bigan, we have my trip with my parents. And one of the experiences that I remember vividly from our trip to Ilocos Sur, actually we went all the way up to Luag on that trip. But when we were in Bigan, we stopped in at one of the areas where they make pottery. A Bigan is famous for pottery. And the first reading today is all about a potter at the wheel. So maybe it's not obvious to you, but I think the Lord is trying to tell me something, putting all these details together. Well, one of the potter at the wheel is a great image of our condition in the hands of God. We're the clay, he's the potter. When we were there, we stopped by the dragon kiln. I don't know how many kilns or how many pottery places there are in Bigan, you know, Bigan tiles and Bigan pottery, it's all over. But we went to a place, and of course, three foreign tourists walk into a place, and this kid sees us, maybe at 10 years old, and he sees his opportunity, and he scoops up a big handful of clay, and he throws it down on this big round platform. I didn't know it was a wheel at the time, because it was down at ground level. Have you ever seen this? It was an amazing display. And then he starts kicking the wheel like this. He stands on one leg, and with the other leg, he starts moving the wheel. It's about maybe 4 feet around, 4 feet across. It's a big wheel, big stone. And then he does his pottery magic, and within a few minutes, there's a pot right on the wheel. So it was pretty impressive, and my dad gave him a big tip. And that's exactly why he did it. But the scriptures tell us, now aside from the issue of the pottery, let's go back to the earthquake. Because the scriptures often mention earthquakes as evidence of God's action. You know those passages. There will be signs in the heavens and on the earth. There will be earthquakes, plagues, and famines. And that's the beginning of the end. So earthquakes, plagues, and famines. We certainly don't know about plagues now. Been in a plague forever. Famines, that is afflicting parts of the world now, especially with the effects of the war in Ukraine and the effects of the inflation. There are severe famines now threatening parts of the world. And now we had an earthquake yesterday. Not that it's the end of the world, but that it's us. These are signs to us. Then in the scriptures, there are earthquakes associated with Jesus. There was an earthquake on Good Friday in Matthew's gospel. And there was an earthquake on Easter Sunday in Matthew's gospel. Remember the earthquake? And then the angel came down and rolled the stone away. So these are to show us, these are dramatic signs to show us the action, the power of God. Is the earthquake evidence of God shaping us, warning us, or destroying us? Does an earthquake simply shake us a little bit, wake us up, or does it actually destroy our house or cause a collapse of our whole livelihood, or even kill us? It's two different things. Here in the metro area, the earthquake didn't kill anybody. Up north, I don't know. Are there casualties? Five casualties so far. So for those people, that earthquake was the end. I like to connect this to the potter and the wheel. When the potter is working with his clay, if it doesn't turn out how he likes, he just crushes it back down and starts all over. That's what an earthquake can be for us, a kind of starting over, a reminder that we're not in our proper shape. As long as the clay is still pliable, it can still be molded, that's possible. If the clay is hard, if it's hardened because it's dried out, or if it's hard because it's already been fired, you can't reshape it. If it's the wrong shape, you just smash it, throw it away. So we who are still in this life are supposed to be in the pliable mode. We're not supposed to be hardened. Sometimes people complain to me, or they come to me with commentary about their own struggles in their spiritual life. And sometimes people can't sort out the difference between being misshapen but still pliable and being hardened. Sometimes people, for example, they say, when I pray, I'm distracted. That everybody's distracted in prayer. You think you're the only one? Everybody is distracted in prayer. That's part of being a human being. Well, maybe the Blessed Virgin Mary, maybe she wasn't distracted, but everybody else gets distracted in prayer sometimes. The question is not about distraction. The question is whether the distraction is simply a wrong shape or whether it's a hardness. See, if it's simply distractions, things that come into our minds or things that come and go or whatever we happen to see in the news yesterday, that's not a disaster. The potter can still shape us. So don't worry about those things. Just let them go. But the things that you can't let go of, the things that you're fixated on, that you're attached to, that's the danger area. So if it's in the will, then the clay has a problem. It can't be molded. If it's simply in the nature, or simply in the memory, or simply in the superficial distractions of the moment, don't worry about that. Just let it go. Say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I got distracted. Then go back. But if you can't let go, then you've got a problem. You see the point? So, another problem people struggle with is fatigue. They sit down to pray and they fall asleep, or they just can't concentrate. Again, Is that simply a natural condition that everybody experiences sometimes? If it is, well, then the potter can still shape us. But if it's resistance, if it's hardness of heart is the term, if it's a resistance to listening to God, well, then we have a problem. The potter can't shape hard clay. Okay, I think the image is clear enough. Let's turn for a moment to this image of the net thrown into the sea. Jesus uses this to describe the end times, or not the net itself current times. The sorting out is the end time. It's something like the weeds and the wheat image, very similar, no? There's this mixture of good fish and worthless fish coming out of the sea, and in the end it will all be sorted out. This net gathering everything in is an image of the kingdom now. It actually is a image that matches the language of Pope Francis and of the church of our times, that the church has to be welcoming. The church has to be inclusive. The church can't be excluding or closing its doors. The church is a welcoming mother, yes. And everybody's welcome to come to the church. Everybody. But not everyone who comes into the church is moldable. Not everyone who comes into the church is pliable clay. Sometimes people come into the church with their own agenda, and they're not willing to let themselves be shaped by the potter and mixing the images. But you get the point. If we claim to be in the church, or we take advantage of the inclusive, welcoming church simply to cling to our own agenda, at the end we're going to be sorted out. So if we experience an earthquake now, then it's a chance for us to let go of our control, our attachments. But if we experience an earthquake at the end and we're still attached, then we end up being thrown away, like a pot that is misshapen but can no longer be molded. It sounds so harsh to us that God would throw away anybody or would send anyone into a fiery furnace where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. It's not God's fault. It's the fault of the person or the people or of us hardening ourselves against him. What can the potter do with clay that just can't be molded? What can he do? So it sounds like a harsh image, but it's actually a very valuable instruction for us, because we who are still here have the opportunity to be reshaped, to be molded. Don't resist the process. Don't miss the message of the earthquake. Don't be hard clay. Let God shape you into what is valuable at the end, what is worth keeping when the great sorting out process takes place at the end of time.